Hello, this is Ken, your podcast preacher. Welcome back to my podcast, Deep Waters. This podcast is brought to you by Applied Strengths Ministry, where we believe working together in our strengths is the effect of working out the will and calling of God in and through our lives. The title of this message series is My Top 10 Topics About Christianity. As of the beginning of 2024, these are my top 10 favorites. Can my beliefs be changed on these? Yes, if they are supported by revelation in the Bible. If there's anything that I have learned in my walk, is that one should be ready to consider those things that they may not have initially believed in. You as a Christian should not be afraid to change your mind. Luke 5:36-39. And what I've also learned in my walk is that there's a lot of feelings behind people's beliefs, and that can keep you from seeing the truth. I am not, as I have stated before, trying to be right or smarter than anybody else. I'm not trying to impress anyone in using the gift God has given me for our benefit. Totally pointless and a waste of time. God keeps score in light of our efforts, and I'm sure that He does it differently than any one of us would. All of this to say, I may have a new top 10 in 5 years, or you may have your own. Regardless, we run together, we fight together, and if we don't, we will lose together. So why this, Ken? Well, because what I normally do is ask God for my next message after completing the last message. Sometimes I find my next message in my stockpile of messages, which is now more than 300. Or sometimes He gives me a new one. My goal is to be saying what God is saying when He is saying it. Times and seasons are a moving target, and He, not me, is a great shot, meaning He knows what we need to hear when we need to hear it. I will be moving from one topic to the other in 10 separate messages. No doubt this is going to be a fun journey, as we all like surprises that build us up, right? No, maybe we just like them because they can equip us for the day, both today and tomorrow. If you have a question that isn't answered in this message, then send me a text or an email. 530-591-0051 or appliedstrengthsministry@gmail.com. Perhaps we can make an episode out of listener questions. If you say that I'm an idiot and I don't know what I'm talking about, I probably won't do a message on that. But stick around, as I just might, for I had a past just like you. And so, but one more thing. I do not shy away from what some call controversial topics as it relates to God. I'm not a debater or arguer, or even one who desires to have the largest online social media following. Those numbers do not tell you or me what is important to Jesus and His work. He stated, many, I say to you, will try to get into the kingdom of God and will not be able. So I prefer to impact only those who just want to know God and do what He is asking of us. Let the numbers take care of themselves. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The pride of life says that I can argue a person right into the kingdom of God in spite of themselves. And yet, don't you know that you yourself did not come in this way? No, but really. We at any point in time can be off of what we think and know about God, right? All of us, any one of us can be wrong. Listen, there are entire denominations that are off in their creeds and doctrine as they relate to the things of God. How much more can any one of us, who thinks we have God all figured out, be tripped up? I am in fact not trying to be right or even to change your mind. Nope. I'm here to equip the saints for the work of ministry and to make disciples and teach them to make disciples. I am here to help you to become the best version of yourself. And if you don't like the curriculum, then don't like it. You do not have to believe my every word. You only have to believe and take action on His every word. And as much as possible, I try to provide supporting scriptures so that you can confirm what I said, but also protect yourself from my potential errors. We're in a war, and if we could actually see it, most of us would simply faint. But so for the rest of us who don't faint or don't want to faint, instead of arguing with God's appointed and anointed leadership, ought we not grab a weapon and practice with it until we are prepared for what comes our way? Ultimately, if I can teach you to draw nearer to God so that He can draw nearer to you, so that you would have a profound relationship with Him, buried in intimacy and obedience with and to Him, then we are good. James 4:8 and 2 Thessalonians 1:8. Now, if you get the big picture and are still with me, then it is good to know just a bit about how we will get there. I'm also here to see that you can know what is your purpose, your calling, vision and goals for your life. What is your personality type? Your talent themes? What is your bus? Which seat do you occupy for a season, if not for your entire term on earth? What is your ministry calling? What spiritual gifts do you operate in? Are you called to be in one of the fivefold ministry positions? How do you prioritize your spiritual life? You know, there's so much more. Many of these questions have been answered in and through this very podcast. This peeps is my heart. I live and die for this every day. With all of what's going on in these days, I just don't have time to debate or argue. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. This is God talking to us Christians, not the other guys. Welcome to my third topic of 10, which is titled, Is Jesus Coming Back Soon? And Will We Know When-ish? Yeah, but you should know why I'm doing a message on this topic. And that is because we are closer to Him returning, and based on the way Christians are acting and behaving, they seem to be unaware. What can? The upper tupper, by the looks and activities of many of our sweet churches today, you would think that we have all the time in the world to wait for His return. I mean, the Bible states that there is a time for the Laodicean church age to manifest, and many have taught that this, meaning today, starting around the 1950s, is the age for that church. And Jesus Himself stated, you would know them by their fruit. And no fruit is a telling story, regardless of how you might redefine what it looks like to walk with God. Oh, wait. You want the fruit list before I carry on with this message? Okay, so let's build a bit of support and then get on with what kind of fruit Jesus is talking about. You know, that all appears to be MIA from the existing body of Christ. In, well, most cases. As you know, I would never say all because I do not know or believe that all churches, absent of the fruit of God, is possible. If that were true, then we ought prepare to be raptured any second now. But since I'm still here typing away, then we must have some that are on task. So now don't go getting mad. Ignorance of the things of God is a thing in the ill-equipped body that actually has a cure. And it is, in part, listening to this message. And, well, other podcast messages. And then doing what you can to depart from a stationary-induced ignorance. Or you can just read the Bible and do that. I'm not the final answer here. I'm just one of you trying to do my best to line up my life with the life of Jesus Christ. Let's build it and then get into it. 2 Peter 3, 1-7. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of a reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in these last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, meaning life is a mess on this planet. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This is talking about the believer who may fall into the religious category, meaning that they, through their sins, invited other false gods into their life because they feel that they have salvation in another. Look, it states according to their own lusts. This is one of the most powerful forces that stands against mankind. One of its primary purposes is to use your sin nature to lead you away from all things God. And what is interesting is to watch these people take the condemnation that comes with unrepentant sin and accuse you of judging them. Look, 2 Samuel 24:10. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. You see, condemnation is a tool that God uses to help the humble Christian out. David's response was the right one. But now let's see what happens to those not yet plugged in. Psalms 34:21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Okay, one more. Psalms 34:22. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. So we see a distinction between those that believe and those who do not. And yes, it is by choice as to which side you stand on. Now, for those who stand on the side of condemnation, they oftentimes blame those who do not. In a strange way, it's like smacking a wasp nest, and after getting stung, you blame the tree that it was hanging in. John 3:18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Okay, so what are this Laodicean church age, and to what will we liken it to? In other words, if today's church condition looks like the following description, Then can we not assume that this scripture applies to today's churches? Revelation 3:14-20. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. This is the dispensation or time. Watch the newsreels and ask where the influence of the church is at. No, really, we ought to know if we are being effective or not, right? Where are the miracle signs and wonders? You see, we already lost some as they believe these gifts are not for today's church. No Holy Spirit in the church, no Jesus either. You see, without the Holy Spirit, we do not actually see that we are truly wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But ask a person who needs healing or a prophetic word from God where they can find it. And or ask a Nubian Christian who is discipling them. And what is their ministry? Crickets all day long, as they will be stumped to respond to such basic Christian questions as these. I get that given what is happening in the world today, that many will be fearful, and some will even be spiritually paralyzed. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it states that fear is a spirit. And in 1 John 4:1, it states to test every spirit. So in these two, we are instructed on a solid response to fear, right? Well, perhaps we need just one more. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Bam, it takes care of it, right? Now, but in order for you to avoid becoming a lukewarm Christian, you have to be an active Christian. And this may mean even leaving your current church if they are unwilling to be active in and through the Holy Spirit. Look, Matthew 24:12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. This has already happened and has been happening for some time. Every time there is a church split over nonsense, it reflects the absence of a sound love for the things of God. For God himself. His bride does not and cannot divorce herself. Churches divorcing themselves, reproducing a new denomination or non-denomination, only to end up doing the same thing that the original church that they divorced was doing. I know this is strong stuff, right? But if the devil and the world can see it, shouldn't we? Luke 18:8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? Well, is this also not a right now event? COVID showed the world where the faith of the majority of the church lies, behind a mask or a shot, even an epic response to the fear generated by the media outlet. Today, I have not heard of one person who got miraculously healed from COVID. But before you send me any names, if it happened to one, by God, it should have happened to many. Yes, I'm aware of miracles, but these few do not excuse our condition nonetheless. Station break. I love the church and all that it should be and can be. We, right now, have the power to turn the world upside down. Unfortunately, we have, besides these obstacles already mentioned, another obstacle that is entirely working against us. Let's look. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders, to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Okay, so now if we didn't have enough current event things to consider, but we now have to deal with these guys. Now, so the difference between an ignorant Christian and one of these falsies is that the falsies are noisy and will challenge you publicly. It's a strategy that works, or at least is intended, to trip up the potentials. These are those who are predestined or of the election who have not yet had their eyes or ears open to the things of God. That is, that they are not yet born again. So, but that scripture has a purpose, which is to get you to believe to ignore it, or to be blind to its activity. You see, who we decide to listen to in these days will determine which side of heaven we end up on. We have to know the difference from the falsy and the authentic Christian. Dare I say that if you listen to these podcast messages and do what they require, you will mature spiritually enough not to get caught off guard. Now, for some of you who are already in the neutral zone may say that I am a false prophet because I speak lies. I say things you don't agree with. Well, that doesn't matter. All that matters is that we love and serve one another. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you have to agree with me. And don't laugh. They accused Jesus of doing the same thing. And many believed the lies. Yes, many enough that they did murder him. Yes, yes, yes. And this is how it happens. Oftentimes, if you find yourself in the majority, you will discover that things can go wrong quickly. I am reading a book right now titled Zygus 2025, written by Thomas Horn. And it clearly is defining how the devil is working to disrupt the current governmental systems, including the church, in preparation of the Antichrist. Watch and see if people are not receptive to the idea of a one-world government and a one-world church. I know I just caught some of you off guard right there. But if you want to be sure, absolutely sure, that you will not be caught off guard, then read your Bible and determine for yourself, with the help of the Holy Spirit, who is who and what is up. You see, you will have no excuse to be tripped up by those claiming to know something of God or by those who are counterfeiting the miracle signs and wonders of God when we were told in advance. Mark 13:23. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. In finishing that long, not related to the initial message intro, we will look at the fruit that should be flourishing in a Christian's life all of the time. Yes, I know it's a journey. But we have an advocate when we miss it, and a proclamation to forgive right away, so we don't place ourselves under a curse. 1 John 2:1-2, and Matthew 6:14-15. Galatians 5:22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, something I have seen in my 61 years is that when someone has to tell you that they already do such and such, or that they are constantly giving all that they have to serve their Lord and Savior to those within earshot, they are usually nowhere close to where they think they are with God. Or they are just young Christians, overzealous of the fact that they just want to fit in. The problem is that God was correct when he stated, well, let's look. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Oh, by the way, that was me back when I thought I was a spiritual somebody. Thank God for the power of the furnace. So now I like this next one because it kind of calls us out on one another. You see, when we cannot stand to be around so-and-so brother or sister, we are told who we really are. There is no excuse or bending of the scriptures. Even more so is the denominational wars or even the other religious wars. In these cases, clearly, someone will be right and many will be wrong. 1 John 2:9-11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Okay, so we finished with part A of this message. And yes, it has become so long that I had to give it a part. So now we look at this next scripture. Keep in mind that there are other fruits and that the fruit comes from the works, from being in your ministry. It comes out of your mouth. It is seen at work and in all places that you travel to on a daily basis. You must have fruit through faith in love and works. 1 Corinthians 13:14-1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Talk about going up in smoke. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The absence of love invites the presence of religion and law. It is what kept the Pharisees out of heaven. And if it did that for them, it will no doubt do it for you. Okay. So, in my reading journey over the last 27 or so years, I have avoided studying, for the most part, the books of Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Matthew as they pertain to the end times. I have read each of them more than 50 times, and surely you should not be impressed with that number, as it is God who awakened my non-existent appetite to read. And so, but if I wasn't God stupid for so long, thinking that I could truly be successful living a life without that religious stuff, perhaps I could have read them more. And well, if I didn't watch so much TV, then even more. I'm still working on my salvation, same as you. So let's help each other to run for God in these last days. Matthew 24, 32, 51. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So the first thing, and do not fret, as I will not be breaking down the timeline of what will happen next in the things of God, as other people have already done that. And so because I do not have a different take, which doesn't mean that I totally agree with everything that I have read, or that they say, but surely many of those in whom I have read are more qualified to speak on such matters. I have already mentioned one of the books, but will also mention other books that are very helpful for understanding the times that we are in. But also that we can, with some accuracy, know when these things will happen. And well, in fact, we are instructed to be paying attention, and not the other way around, as so many have been taught. We should perhaps be paying more attention. When this scripture is talking about Israel becoming a nation again, on May 14, 1948, they are this fig tree that Jesus was talking about. Now see, this is how you get revelation out of the Bible. It's the stories behind the stories. On to verse 36. But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay, so now it was Earl Bristow, in whom I read 10 of his books earlier this year, which explains verse 36. This was a Jewish idiom, meaning that Jesus was saying that he would return on the feast that nobody knows a day or hour in which it begins. This scripture refers to Rosh Hashanah. The feast was based on the sighting of the new moon, of which it was said nobody knows the day or hour when it, Rosh Hashanah, begins, because the new moon had to appear first. The new moon had to first be identified, and nobody knew when this would happen. And so it is that this is what Jesus was referring to. So he was actually saying that he would return on the feast that nobody knows a day or hour. The Jewish people that he was talking to would have understood what he was saying. Now I agree with this because in verse 37 he goes on to tell us what it will be like before he returns. So he is not hiding it from us, but rather is telling us when he would return based on the signs similar to the days of Noam Floaties for the Sinners. You can read As It Was in the Days of Noah, written by Jeff Kinley, for a deeper study on this. In fact, I highly recommend you read it because it is also chock full of revelation for these days that we are now living in. Now, Earl and myself, as well as many other authors, believe that knowing when the thief shows up is possible and biblically supportable. Now, we're not trying to actually nail down a very specific date. And the reason is because this is a choice of God. In his great mercy, he can do whatever he wants. I even think that if the church straightened out, that is his bride, and began to do what she was called to do in a way greater measure, then he might delay his return. But in the event things go as they are going now, then it is good that we are watching. It is good that we are knowing and paying attention to the signs. Let's see what I'm talking about. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Pretty clear, right? Noah had an ark, and we today have the ark called Jesus. We will enter that ark through the rapture. Who did not know the storms were coming? It wasn't Noah, as he and his family entered the ark. Will we not have the same opportunity to receive Jesus before the end comes? Yes, but not if you are not knowing, not if you lack knowledge. Verse 40. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It looks like the rapture comes right before the end or end time events. In Jeff Kinley's book, As It Was in the Days of Noah, he has listed 30 of the end time events in chronological order, beginning with the rapture, which is predicted based on many biblical events to happen, maybe as soon as towards the end of this year. Watch the war between Israel, Hamas, and Iran, and see if it doesn't expand to include other places such as Russia, Turkey, Egypt, Iran, Libya, and Sudan. I got that list from Google, but from what I am told, four of those countries are listed in Ezekiel. You can read the following books to get the big picture of this one of many events that will lead us to the rapture. So before I move on, I will provide the list of end time books that again are a must read so that you would know when the thief comes in. How and When the World Ends, Volume 1 of 6, Earl Bristow. End Times Rapture Signs, Volume 2. The Date of the Rapture, Volume 3. Revelation and Daniel Reveal, Volume 4. Heaven, Millennium, and Eternity, Volume 5. The Realignment of Nations for Armageddon, A New World Order Arises, Hamas, Iran, Russia, China, Israel. The next three are another series, but similar in terms of end time stuff. The first one is The USA in End Time Bible Prophecy, Divided We Fall. Volume 2, The Roles of Big Tech, Media, and Big Government. And Volume 3, Blood Moons, Solar Eclipses, and the Revelation 12 Sign. All of these are written by Earl Bristow. So hey, Ken, what's with all the book recommendations? Great question. I figured it was best with this topic to lead you to the sources that I read so you could make up your own mind. You see, I could, in this case, regurgitate what Earl, Jeff, and Thomas have stated, or inform you that these books exist and are and should be urgently read so that you are not caught off guard as to what is here and what is coming. Did we not know that the end would come? Were we not told almost 2,000 years ago that we were in the last hour? 1 John 2:18. You see now how when Peter stated people would mock us due to the perceived delay of God's return? But the time for mocking is nearing its end. Look again at Matthew. Matthew 24:32-51. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. This generation, what generation? How about the generation that is now living in Israel since May 14, 1948? The Jews who lived then is the generation that Jesus was talking about when he stated that they would see these things, that is, these end time events. Verse 45, who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, My master's delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. It is clear here that he should have been looking and knowing. Verse 51, and I will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, still not convinced? Let's settle it then, shall we? 1 Thessalonians 5:1-8. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the dark, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. All of this to say that those days are upon us, and well, it should be over before this year. But if it is not, do not mock God or myself. I'm not worth your mocking time. But be sure that this message has come, not because I enjoy talking about what awful things are coming on the lukewarm church and the God-rejecting humanity that remains behind, because although some, no, many of them, faked out the authentic, dumb Christian. Look at the story of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, 1-13. Did they not have everyone faked out but Jesus? I mean, they made it to the spaceship with the other 5 virgins. Okay, so but now this end times is multi-layered, in events occurring concurrently, or easily stated, at the same time. No, but really, the end times had to come upon someone, right? Why not us? Look at the America that was built on the falsity of the Masons right out of the gate, and tell me how we made it this far. Oh, those meanings of the Old Testament burning their babies to false gods Molech and Baal. But let us overlook how it is that we justified the murder even before they were born. You know, to lessen the pain. So we wouldn't have to take responsibility for our recreational sleeping around. Yes, I am as guilty as the next guy and deserve the heats of hell. But for reasons beyond anything I can understand, Jesus saved my wretched soul. Yes, while I was rejecting everything about him. He plucked me up right out of my destiny with eternal hell. What an idiot I was. And I don't say this to falsify piousness or humility. Nope, I say this because I have gotten to know the one who is called love. And to be honest, I cannot measure up to his standard of anything. I now will give every last bit of what I am to his account. I have been down the many tunnels of empty promises where the blind leading the blind are promising them. They promise us the world when they themselves do not even have a piece of it. In finishing, I would encourage you to wake up. If you are awake, then I would wake up more, and so forth and so on. There must be a reason why, from about 2016, I have been on an end-time track. Read all of Thomas Horn's book and come up with a reason why you think he is off on what he says about these days. Or believe what he says. He supports with scripture what he states, and so does Earl. If you dare to inquire the status of this country and what it has done on the dark side of the moon and who has been behind it, then I also recommend that you read Jonathan Cahn's book. No doubt these will add to what you think you already know about these things, or they will shock you once you have pulled back the covers of humanity in America. Now I know America has done some good stuff, but in totality, we are doing the same thing Israel did when they excused God from the table. Isaiah 9:9-34. So I couldn't end without giving you some of the titles of Thomas Horn's books, as well as Jonathan Cahn's. I feel like God wanted me to give them to you, rather than take the chance that you might not go Easter egg hunting for them. So I'm reading about 6 of Thomas's books at once because that's how I read. I have finished 2 others. He wrote a book titled Before Genesis, but this is rebuttal to the age of the earth, which is or will be a total of 7,000 years old, when destroyed by fire, or older. I'm inclined to believe that it will be 7,000 years old, of which we are nearing the end of the 6,000 year mark, which is when the rapture occurs and Jesus will be ruling for the last 1,000 years. Thomas's other books are The Wormwood Prophecy, 2 Forbidden Gates, 3 Zygus 2025, 4 Saboteurs, 5 Antichrist and the Final Solution, 6 Apollyon Rising, and 7 The Messenger. Now remember, I am reading these all at the same time, but what I have read so far is spot on. Now Jonathan's books have been mentioned in other podcasts, but rather than send you on a wild book chase, I will list the ones I've already read. Remember, the Bible is all true, and anything read outside of it should be filtered through what it says. This practice will keep you out of trouble, as I have learned some authors can be very convincing. Book number 1, The Josiah Manifesto. 2, The Return of the Gods. 3, The Oracle. 4, The Mystery of the Shemitah. 5, The Harbinger. 6, The Harbinger 2. And 7, The Paradigm. Okay, so like that is my new favorite book list. And it is because we are living in these days. And also need to know how we got here so that when these events take place, we will know why. Prophecy is being fulfilled on the regular. And is even right now being fulfilled. So keep reading your Bible so that you are not caught off guard and fall into the trap, which is that many will accuse the small group of authentic Christians that they are anything but what God calls them. They did it to Jesus and his apostles, and they will do it to us, even if we are on our way out. Be on the lookout for my 4th topic of 10, which is titled, Is God a Trinitarian God or One God? Let the fun continue. Well, that's it for today. Remember, it's not what you find wrong or disagree with regarding these messages, but what you can take away from it. Together, we can do more to impact the kingdom than if we work alone. Let's flip the script and kill, steal, and destroy the works of the enemy and create space for the light of life to shine through into people's lives. Plant a seed and click on the like and subscribe button. Let's build this ministry together. Thanks, and see you next time in deep water. Oh.